Yamuna Jira Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I want to take this opportunity to thank all the organizers of our festival here, without whose very concentrated efforts all of this would not be possible. First of all, there is Dinanath Prabhu. Whose ongoing intensive desire to have all of us together here has manifested in this nice festival. And of course, his wife, Madhava Priya, working in the background, so to speak, helping. Also, Dayalu Prabhu and his wife. And Dadi Bhaksha Prabhu. And his wife translating, Sabhavali Mataji. And Vira Chandra, another translator. His translating business is not easy. Especially when the speakers are speaking fast. They have to simultaneously hear and chant and hear what's coming next. They have to have three brains at once. And all of the cooks. And all of those who are helping the cooks. And all of the decorators. The pujaris. Who else? All those who ate the prasadam. The Ganga players. Djembe players, and all of you, all of you for coming and enlivening all of us. Haribo! 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 Actually, I wanted to just briefly speak some reflection on the Janmashtami festival, because we've been doing a seminar on festivals. I'll try to be brief so that our real speakers can speak for us. But for the sake of proper procedure, I think it's nice that we begin with a verse from Bhagavatam. And although this is not written out, you'll have no problem following it. It is a prayer by Queen Kunti. So please repeat. Krishnaya,
Krishnaya,
Vasudevaya,
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya,
Krishnaya,
Vasudevaya,
Vasudevaya,
Devaki,
Devaki,
Nandanaya cha,
Nandanaya cha,
Krishnaya, Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya, Vasudevaya,
Devaki, Nandanaya cha,
Devaki, Nandanaya cha,
Nanda,
Nanda,
Gopa,
Gopa,
Kumaraya,
Kumaraya,
Govindaya,
Govindaya,
Nava,
Nama,
Namaha,
Namaha,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya, Namo Namaha,
Govindaya, Namo Namaha,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devaki Nanda. Nandanayacha
Devaki Nandanayacha
Nandagopa Kumaraya
Nandagopa Kumaraya
Govindaya Namo Namaha
Govindaya Namo Namaha
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Devaki Nandanayacha
Devaki Nandanayacha
Nandagopa Kumaraya
Nandagopa Kumaraya
Govindaya Namo Namaha
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Translation and purport by Sublime Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Translation, you don't have any Croatian, okay, go slowly. Let me, therefore, offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Purport. The Lord, being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of his unbounded and causeless mercy descends on the earth as he is, in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotees and diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Kurukunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because his incarnation is because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. In the Rama incarnation, he remained a king's son from his very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was the son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudeva and Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Yashoda Mayi to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Vrajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Rama. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudeva and the family. Had he not become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate, because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited at Vrajabhumi, which are the prototypes of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dham in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Sri Krishna descended himself at Vrajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Vrajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Yashoda, and his pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and the cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Now you have the book. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely Brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. I'll just briefly comment on one point that Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport. He is saying that Krishna is the most approachable incarnation of the Lord. He says he is more approachable than who? Well, he refers to Lord Ram, and it's understood he is more approachable than any incarnation of the Lord. It may be of interest to you to know that some acharyas have appreciated this fact in an interesting way. As we know, there are generally, we refer to six qualities or six opulences of the Lord. The Lord is known as Bhagavan because of six opulences. He is full of wealth, full of strength, full of beauty. He is possessing unlimited fame, unlimited knowledge, and despite all of these, he is the most renounced. Srila Ramanujacharya tells us that in addition to these opulences, there are six additional opulences. These opulences, aside from one of them, namely beauty, which he says applies to both two sets of opulences. This list that I just gave especially refers to the Lord's majesty. That Lord who is very distant from us. The majestic Lord, the all-powerful Lord, the all-knowing Lord, and so on and so forth. He has these opulences for which he is known as Bhagavan. But in contrast to this general characteristic of majesty, the Lord has another characteristic, and that is accessibility, also known as sarlabhya. Sarlabhya. Labhya means attainability. Sarlabhya, very attainable. The Lord is very attainable. Fortunately for us. And Srila Ramanujacharya expands on this notion of accessibility with six characteristics, six opulences, and I'll just go through these briefly, and then our Swamis will most undoubtedly expand upon them. The first of these is compassion. The Lord is compassionate. And this is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham eva anukampartam aham adhyana jantama. That the Lord, anukampa, is literally trembling with compassion. The next is called by Ramanuja gracious condescension. You know the word condescend? To condescend is sometimes used in a negative word, but here it's used in a positive sense. It means to descend, to come down, but in the sense of being with those that you come down to. We lost our translator. Okay. Okay, I'll just try to explain it generally. Gracious condescension means the Lord descends, he is avatar. But gracious condescension. He comes with a desire to bestow grace, mercy. He doesn't come down to float above us. He comes down to be among us. The next one, and all of these are interrelated, is motherly love. Well, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the father of all living entities, but he also identifies himself as the mother and as the most dear friend, and so many relations are there. But what is the quality of motherly love? It is the love of a superior for a, well, inferior, a younger, the child, and it is unqualified. Whatever the child does, the mother is always showering love on the child. And because of these feelings, compassion, gracious condescension, motherly love, the Lord is generous. The fourth of his qualities of accessibility. He's generous, he's magnanimous, he gives, he doesn't hold back. He doesn't keep his fists tightly closed, he opens them. Sometimes he slightly closes them, namely when he plays a flute. But then he's opening up to all of his devotees and inviting them to participate in his transcendental pastime. Well, he is generous, but it's not the kind of generosity of simply giving and walking away, don't care about him. No, his fifth quality is that he has concern for his creature's welfare. He wants to know, how are we doing? It occurred to me this morning during the darshan, as we were hearing Govinda prayers, how many devotees are here with folded hands, mentally offering prayers to Shishi Radha Kunja Vihari. And how amazing Krishna is, Radha Krishna, simultaneously they are hearing all of our prayers. That's pretty amazing. If I try to talk to two people at once, I have a problem. What to speak of, 3 or 5, but 500? And what about the thousands of other devotees at this very same time, all over the world, who are offering prayers to Radha Krishna? And Krishna's taking them all in. He's marking them all down, because he has concern for all of his creatures' welfare. And finally, he expresses his feelings to his devotees, to everyone, with the sixth quality. He is full of tender affection. Tender means very delicate, very sweet. All of these qualities, as I say, are emphasizing the Lord's accessibility, and I think we can confidently say that this day of Krishna Janmashtami, we are celebrating Krishna's accessibility. The Lord is appearing not only 5,000 years ago or whenever it was. He appears once in the day of Brahma, here from Shastra. He's appearing also today for us. And this we are celebrating. And this celebration is also a collective prayer to the Lord to kindly remain with us, not simply to appear and then disappear the next day or the day after that, but to remain with us. It occurred to me that it is a nice day to recall Srila Prabhupada's celebration of Janmashtami. Tomorrow we celebrate his Vyasa Puja. His celebration of Janmashtami on the Jaladuta, the water messenger. It's the name of the ship that he came across on. And somewhere out in the ocean, on his way over to Boston and New York, on this freighter, it was not a passenger ship, it was a freighter, Srila Prabhupada celebrated Jamashtami, organizing a little festival with the crew members, the captain and his wife, and the crew members. There was a handful of crew members. Prabhupada himself, we can be sure, observed by fasting, just as we are fasting today. And he prepared a little feast for Krishna, which he offered to the Lord. He invited all of the available persons. There were not so many, so he invited whoever he could, and no doubt they all came. And then Krishna spoke something to glorify Krishna. This mahatmya, glorification, is an essential part of any festival. Then he offered some worship to Krishna, and then he distributed prasad to everyone. 1 year later, he celebrated Janmashtami in New York City at 26 Second Avenue. Now there were more people, young people, who were joining with Srila Prabhupada in the celebration. I believe also on that day he invited the captain, is that right? The captain was in town. Yes. The captain of the ship from the last year, Prabhupada invited to come on that next year. And he told all the devotees, okay, today is Krishna's appearance day. What do? We fast all day. Right. But the devotees were enthusiastic. They did their best. They fasted more or less until midnight, I believe it was. And then they had a very simple feast. Devotees were anticipating something, you know, some real feast at that time, but no, there just came a little bit of fruit. And the devotees were kind of, can I say, disappointed? Well, in any case, they were treated to an unexpected feast. I was explaining in our festival seminar that one of the features of festivals is that unexpected things happen. It makes them very interesting. So, in 1966, Prabhupada had a little group of people who were following his process of devotional service. Well, we know the history. I don't want to tell the history of this kind. We have seen what Hayagriva Prabhu told in his books that at one point it was spreading like wildfire, the Krishna consciousness movement, so that in a short time so many centers were there, so many people were celebrating this festival. I was recalling one particular festival that I was allowed to celebrate, the Jamashtami festival. This was in Moscow, 1978. We had a little apartment, somebody's apartment, where it was possible to cook a feast for Krishna. I always remember these little tiny apartments with little tiny kitchens. It was something of a challenge to cook. We wanted to cook 16 preparations in those days in Moscow. That was going to be quite an accomplishment. I would ask the devotees, because normally you could only get cabbage, potatoes, and lemons, basically, that's what was available. So I would ask the devotees, is it possible to get cauliflower? You don't know what cauliflower is, I suppose. Well, let me explain. No, we know. Yes, we can get, no problem. No problem? Zoom, off they went, and an hour later there was some cauliflower. Wow, how did you get this cauliflower? No problem. Corruption. Corruption. So we had a very nice festival, completely packed apartment. Of course, you don't need very many people to pack a Moscow downtown apartment, but it was completely packed, and it was very blissful. Well, I mentally contrast that situation with our present situation here in Pula. So many of us are together, and I contrast this mentally with the celebration Srila Prabhupada had in 1966 in New York, and then with Srila Prabhupada on the Jaladutta, practically alone celebrating Janmashtami. And I cannot help but thinking, first of all, how pleased Srila Prabhupada must be to see that we are all together, so many of us, celebrating this festival which he wanted to bring to us. He wanted to bring us Krishna, and he was successful, because he was confident that indeed Krishna is all compassionate, all merciful, that he is full of gracious, condescending, all of these qualities we listed. Having this confidence and himself being imbibed with these qualities of the Lord, he was able to convey, to transplant to us this Krishna culture. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! So it is because of Srila Prabhupada's desire that we are all celebrating this festival. I will jump over several things I was thinking to say to one interesting and perhaps intriguing occurrence. Which happened in Vrindavan in the year 1992. I was not myself a witness of this, but I have read an eyewitness report, which will perhaps help us to understand how Krishna indeed is present with us, or can be present with us and can remain with us when we desire it. As you probably know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that when Uddhava came to visit Vrindavan as a messenger from Lord Krishna to the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. At one point there was a meeting with the gopis, and as Uddhava was beginning to convey his message, suddenly one Brahmana appeared. Not a Brahmana, a Brahmana. What is a Brahmana? A bumblebee. Yes. A big black bumblebee. What do you call it? Bumbai.
Bumbai.
Bumbai. How do you spell it?
You spell it like
B-U-R.
B-U-M.
A-R. Ah, Bumbai. Suddenly this boombar came and started buzzing around the feet of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani started speaking with this boombar and expressing her anger and saying, "You should just go away. Who do you think you are?" But at one point she changes her mood and says, "Oh, where are you going? Please, stay here. What's happening with Krishna? Tell me something about Krishna." So that is elaborated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 47 of the 10th chapter. In 1992, in Vrindavan, in one ashram called Jai Singh Ghera, which is a place which is associated with the Radharaman temple and the Radharaman Goswamis, A big festival was being organized and was underway. Actually, this occurred in October, so it was during Kartik. It wasn't on Janmashtami day. And the celebration was the reopening of this particular place, which it is understood is a place where Radha and Krishna would meet regularly for their trysts, secret meetings, and it's also the place, it's right next to the Yamuna, where this Bhumbar appeared, and where Radharani spoke with. So, there was a festival going on. There were many prominent people at this occasion, many brahmanas there. They had been doing lots of preparation, and there were speeches going on in the evening of this particular day by these prominent brahmanas. Finally, it was the turn of the last speaker. This was one lady who was a famous and very talented dancer. And just she was beginning to chant some invocation. This Bhumbar came in and stopped right in front of this lady in the middle of where everyone was sitting. And some of the Goswamis started exclaiming, "Hari Gos, Jai Ho, Krishna has come," in the form of this Bhumba. And they became very ecstatic, and one of the leading Goswamis of the Radharaman temple, he got so excited. He said, "This is definitely an indication. Krishna has come in the form of this bee. And I'm so happy about this that I am going to make a shrine in this place where this bee has come." And then he made some more declarations. He was going to perform a certain vrata for 1 year and so on and so forth. So the festivities continued, the bee buzzed away, Bhumbar, and then the festivities continued for the next 2 or 3 days. And on this, I think it was the third day after this declaration, they were preparing this shrine that they were making for this event that had happened 2 or 3 days before. And it was all ready. It was a kind of octagonal platform where they were going to somehow indicate that in 1992 and such and such date, this bee has come. So just as... Oh, I forgot to say that on the first day when this bee came, while all the festivities were going on, this was also being recorded on video. Now, for this next observance, to install this shrine, they had taken from the video one frame, so to speak, and made a photograph, a picture of the bee, and put in a silver frame. And they were getting that ready to place on this pedestal. And the priest was there chanting mantras, and he was just about to reach for this picture to place there on this pedestal when a bee landed, not directly on the pedestal, but next to the pedestal on the side. And at this point, everybody was going, "Whoa, this is far out. Something is going on here." Then one devotee took a leaf and sort of scooted the bee onto the leaf and then lifted the bee onto this platform, and the bee just stayed there on the platform. And everyone went berserk. Because everyone had this Somehow everyone understood Krishna has appeared in the form of his beast. So everyone was just Haribol, 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 and then they started circumambulating this little pedestal and having kirtan, and the bee just stayed there the whole time. And finally things calmed down a little bit and everyone sat down again, and then the bee buzzed off. And all of this was recorded on video. No. Something I've read about. They have it in their archives. I just wanted to relate this to you because I think it's a nice expression of this fact, which we can all of us appreciate in our individual personal ways, but also collectively in this festival. Krishna can appear in our lives. But as I said, it is not that we only want Krishna to appear, we also want him to stay. And so our prayer may be of that nature today. My dear Lord, you are in my heart, you please come, you please manifest, and you please remain in my heart, and you please blossom in my heart. The word utsava means upsurging, but it also means to blossom. So let this event be an occasion of the blossoming of our love for Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram. Shri Shri Radha Kunja Vihari Ki
Jai.
Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki
Jai.
Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsava Ki
Jai.
Gaura Premanande
Hari.
Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala. Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala.
Govinda, 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 Govinda
Govinda, Govinda, Gopalanandana. Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopalanandana.
Shri Aditya Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaurava
Panchakalpatarugasha Vibhashindugare Vata Adhinam Bhavadeyo Vaishnavegyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada writes, as recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, Tasmat Kina Yupayena Mana Krishna Niveshayat. Somehow or other, whether one thinks of Krishna as an ordinary human child, as the source of the Brahman effulgence, as the origin of Paramatma, or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should concentrate one's full attention upon the lotus feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada continues this theme that to remember Krishna is the essence of Krishna conscious practice by saying, if we can somehow or other remember Krishna, Narayan, at the end of life, our life will be successful. We have a problem. The problem of egotism. We think so much of ourselves. Too much. That's in the way of thinking of Krishna. But we wish to travel the 1,000 light years from egocentrism to Krishna-centrism, put Krishna in the center. And our sadhana is meant to achieve this goal, and today there is a great hope that we can start to make a significant advancement in this journey by remembering Krishna. This morning, I would like to start with the best verse which describes Krishna in the whole of the Bhagavatam. And this is stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I wish to read to you the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 5. It is taken from the Venu Gita. And please hear. Varaha pidam natavara vapu kana yoka nikaram vibratvasha kanaka kapisham vaicha jantim chamalam Rantran Vinur Adarasudaya Pirayangopa Brindar Brindaranyam Svapadaramanam Pravishakita Kirti. Bearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, grew Kanikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form at the greatest of dances as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Let us dwell a little on this description of Krishna to remember him on this auspicious day. It is first described that Lord Krishna had the peacock garment, feather ornament upon his head. Krishna honors his dancing gurus who taught him the art of dance, the peacock, by taking the present, the peacock feather, and keeping it always at the most important place, the head. He has a blue Kaunikara flower, sometimes it's also yellow, which blossoms in the Sarat and Vashanti season, on his head, on his ear, very playfully. Sometimes when you see one of our unusual brahmacharis with a little garland around the ear, you laugh. Oh, this is a very special decoration. You have it around the ear and so on. Krishna, it means playfulness. Krishna is very playful. He has a Kanikara flower just over his ear. Very decorated. Very nice. He has a yellow garment as brilliant as gold. Sometimes it is described that the bodily hue of Lord Krishna is like the blue, black blue of the monsoon cloud, and his yellow dhoti can be only compared with the beautiful flesh and blitz within the monsoon cloud, which gives it a very bright appearance, a very powerful appearance, and a very brilliant appearance. Then it is described that Lord Krishna dresses in a Vaijajanti garland. The Vaijajanti garland is made of at least five different flowers, set with Tulasi Manjaris. Lord Krishna likes this type of garlands. And then it is described how Krishna dances. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that when Krishna danced, I was thinking today about this. We were dancing and the ground became a little bit wet and dark because the dust was mixing with the sweat, and there was traces over the green floor, almost like snakes moving, we could see. When Krishna dances, in the steps, footsteps, lotus flowers grow, yoop, and come up to full blossom. When he dances, it's very useful, very, very special. He leaves his footprints on the ground of Vrindavan, and apparently there is a silent agreement between the wind and all the creatures in Vrindavan, snakes and ants and alike. They do not dare to walk over the footprints of Lord Krishna because they are so beautiful, with the fish and the lotus flowers and the goat for controlling the elephant. Very beautiful. So the wind stops. Oh, here are the footprints of Krishna. I can't blow them and spread them around. And also the ants say, oh, let me go around the footprints. It is not proper to touch the footprints of the Lord. In this way, there are many descriptions. At last is the flute play. Krishna has many different types of flutes, which he keeps in a special chest. Shrunka in Nandagram, and there's a Venu made from a bamboo reed. Krishna's name is Venu Gopal, the Gopal who has the Venu. This bamboo taken from the shore of the Yamuna. It has six holes. Vishwanath says this flute has no holes, because holes means an imperfection. And Prabhupada expresses how this flute has holes and no holes by saying that Krishna has filled this flute with the nectar from his lips. So it's full, there's no lacking. In this way we could go on and on discussing about Krishna.
But the problem is we fall asleep while we hear this. The problem is we are getting bored while we hear this and think, oh, how am I surviving this description? The problem is when we hear about this and other things, it does not make a spark in our heart. We don't even hear it. It passes through one ear and out the other, Sanatana. Why is this problem there? Why are we so disinterested in Krishna?
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is very good in talking about Lord Krishna, also comes to our level and explains. The problem is we have a fever in our heart, and the most beautiful, tasty preparations are becoming a torture for us. Imagine you have a solid fever, maybe due to sunburn, and you it's time for feasting, and there's sweet rice with milk, even maybe some butter, drops of ghee on it, and it is brought before you. But because there is no digestive power as of yet, you're still suffering in the fever. You start to vomit almost when you see the preparation. Only a healthy person can enjoy ghee and milk and rice and so on. So we a very, very, very problematic existence. We have no taste in Krishna or Krishna Katha, and it manifests in the most disturbing situation that Krishna in his most accessible form is uninteresting for us. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has very nicely given us some of the fruits of his scholarship. That is, he has described six qualities how Krishna is accessible. You know, yes, unconditional love of like the mother for the child, and compassion, and so on. And then he appears amongst us in compeeps. Incompeeps, that's a new word. It means incompetent, incom, and peeps means peeps. See, about this we can laugh. It is from our realm of language. It seems funny, but it touches us because we are on this level. But the other things, no. We are too problematic. But, see, in the most accessible form, the Lord becomes uninterested. This is the holy name. When we have no interest for Krishna, his holy name also is a very, very difficult torture. To do it 16 rounds a day with full attention, it is painful for us. Have you ever noticed chanting Hare Krishna and then your mind can't take it? It must think of something else. Sometimes you feel bad when you chant Hare Krishna. When the kirtan goes too long, you're flushed out of the kirtan. You stay somewhere else because you are so bored. And to dance, oh no, hopefully they will not pull me in the center. And so on. Only if you can sing and you are in the center again, the microphone comes to you, sing one round Hare Krishna, you become excited with adrenaline because you are in the center now, not Krishna any longer, you are in the center.
The egoistic mind of the conditioned soul is such a bad rascal that he opposes very much surrender to Krishna, very much to put Krishna in the center. It is intolerable. We do everything to avoid it. When we chant Hare Krishna, we switch off. No, let me think of something else. Our ego revolves. We feel great discomfort. Hare Krishna, what do you think? And we are trying to celebrate Krishna's birthday, where we put him into the center. It is a joke. We are trying to become Krishna conscious. It's a joke. Therefore, 90% of you will not be here in 10 years. This is statistical numbers. It is a problem. It is not something to be taken light-hearted. It is so problematic that Prabhupada said, to make one person a devotee, you have to sweat gallons of blood. One person. Hare Krishna. It is not light-hearted, it is serious. Janmashtami, the appearance day of Lord Krishna, brings a challenge to us. Can I put Krishna in the center of my life? Try at least for today. I can guarantee you, an hour or so we will think, when do I get there? Can I eat something? Or can I just get a, you know, I will do something to get a pizza and eat it in the forest where no one sees me, and so on and so forth. We are pulled here, we are pulled there by false egoism to put us in the center, except for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Nevertheless, we have started with the best verse and everyone listened to something else. Now we will make another attempt. We will now go to a problematic question which once almost, I lost my life in discussing this question with someone. When we think of a birthday celebration, we at Krishna, we naturally think, who are Krishna's parents? Huh? So it's birthday, who are his parents? Once the friends of Lord Krishna teased Krishna. Oh, Krishna, they said. People in Vrindavan say, you are the son of Mother Yashoda. But how can this be? Look at you. You are black. Mother Yashoda is bright like gold, so is Nanda Maharaj. How does this work genealogically, please? Krishna had never thought about this. I'm black. My parents are golden. They say, I'm not the son of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Ma. And he started to cry and cry and cry. And then he just stopped playing with his friends. He was so finished. He went away and he hid himself in the hollow of a tree, just crying. Came the time when Krishna was expected to return, but the friends were still looking for him. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?
They went to Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda was already very worried. Krishna had not come back at the proper time, and now the friends were coming of Krishna, and they were coming without Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Mother Yashoda became very, very, very disturbed. She could not eat. She could not think. She just cried in her palace, being incompetent to what to do. After some time, some little voice came from the forest and said to Yashoda, Yashoda Ma, Krishna is in some tree. We saw him in some tree, but we could not address him. He was crying so much, and we don't know what happened. Please go. Yashoda went, and like a mother cow looking for the calf, and finally found Krishna from the hollow of the tree. Doctor, and Gopal, what is the matter? Why are you crying so much? And Krishna's body shook at that time. His ripples on his neck were shaking. Decoration was shaking. I could not say anything. Finally he burst out, Mother, they say, I'm not your son. Of Gopal. Only that. Gopal, you are my son. I was there. I saw you. How you were coming. Yeah, this is nonsense. This voice is sometimes teasing. And Krishna started to cry more and more. And Gopal, why are you crying? I'm saying you're my son. Ma, you are not black. I am black. It cannot work. Oh no, Mother Yashoda said, don't worry. You were born on a black night. That's why you're black. And the milk which I first gave you from the cows, from the cows, it came from a black cow. That's why you're black. Hare Krishna. The Goswami say that the third reason why Krishna is black, but you would be bored to hear it, and I will not say it. Hare Krishna. No. This will be a heavy lecture. Something more is yet to come. So then finally, by all these very good arguments, born on a black night, milk from a black cow, Krishna was solidly convinced that he is the son of Yashoda. Now this is a philosophical problem. We hear Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. What is he? Whose son is he? Hare Krishna. This time I will read to you something. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses, says Prabhupada, that Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy Yogamaya. As the son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu. And because Vasudev was not in the position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudev worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. This is what Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu explained to us, that there are two conceptions of God. One is a majestic form, where you see him as from the distance. But there are devotees who cannot tolerate this distance, who are very close, and they are not in the Aishwarya compartment of the spiritual life, but on the in the Madhurya compartment. Prabhupada now will talk about this. Yashoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his Godhead. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yashoda and as the son of Devaki. This is all explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti on the authority of Harivamsa. Krishna is for those, if you follow the conception of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will become very interested in this very intimate aspect of the Lord, the Vrindavan aspect, the Raj Krishna, the Syama Sundar Krishna, the Krishna who is together with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. On Jamashtami day, it is a very good day for us to think, who is Krishna for us? What have we realized about Krishna for us? Is he the son of Devaki and Nanda and Vasudev in his four-armed Narayan form, no, Vishnu form? Or is he the playful Rasaraj, the Akila Rasamrita Murti, the personality of so many wonderful, confident Leela, where he only has one business, one idea? He doesn't think of the creation of the world. He doesn't think at Vrindavan Krishna, even of going as super soul within everyone's heart in the middle. He thinks only of one thing, pleasing his devotees. This is something, a deep question, which I will leave up for you to think about a little bit. Krishna's childhood pastimes are very, very, very ecstatic. This Madhurya aspect is very, very ecstatic, and I will tell you a last Krishna Leela on this, and then I will talk about fasting. Hare Krishna. This Vrindavan aspect of Krishna is for us Chaitanyas of followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the highest aspect, because here the Lord comes out as Rasaraj. Once the Indra, he cried. Narada Muni at that time came to Lord Indra and asked, "Why are you crying? You're the king of the universe." "Yes, I'm crying," said Indra. "I'm crying because when Krishna appeared as a child in Vrindavan, I made an offense against him. I said, this Balaka, this talkative child, too much, and they give the offerings which are meant for me to this child, too much. I will show this child and all these foolish people who I am." And I flooded the area of Vrindavan. I not only hurt Krishna, I hurt his dear devotees. In this way, I could not enjoy his childhood pastimes, because my eyes was covered with aparat, with offense. And now Krishna is in Dwaraka as a prince. I will never enjoy his childhood pastimes. Never. It's too late. And then Indra cried. Narada Muni said, "We want to see Krishna as a child. Yes, I will give everything. Just one darshan." Narada Muni smiled and said, "If my plan works out, I will call you." By the way, this is from the Skanda Purana. So, it's a very nice, a very complicated story. Yes. So then Narada Muni went to Devaki. Said, "Devaki,
oh yes, great sadhu, but I'm so fortunate that you are here. What can I do for you?"
Narada Muni said, "Devaki, you only need to keep your promise."
Yes, I'm aware of Dharma, I usually keep. No, when Krishna was in your womb, at that time you promised, if there is a safe delivery, I will make a big yajna to please all the devatas. Have you made the yajna as of yet?
Devaki. I'm very sorry, I totally forgot it, because it was just, there was so much tension. We were in the prison, I was always fearing for my child and my delivery, because every child was killed by Kamsa. Very bad, and when Krishna was finally born, he came out with four arms, with full decoration. I forgot everything. And then something happened with Vasudev, he went and took the child to Vrindavan, and all the time, each day, I was in worry. I couldn't think of organizing a yajna. Like Daily Baksha has to think of a 3-hour Abhishek tomorrow of Srila Prabhupada. It's just the thing. Where to get the yogurt from, where to get the conchas from, where to get the water from, where to get... There are a million things. That's why you sometimes may see Dali Baksha with a worried face. It is a difficult thing to... Now imagine a Vedic yajna where you please all the demigods. Just one. Devaki promised many demigods. I've totally forgotten the Devaki. Can we do it also now? Yes, said Narada Muni. We can do something now also. You arrange the yajna. So, Kamsa's mother was there, because after the death of Kamsa, Vasudeva Devaki took care. She was already a little senile. And she said, yes, Narada Muni, and you please invite all the people from the universe. You are a Deva Rishi, you can go anywhere. We will make the biggest yajna because of our gratefulness that Krishna is amongst us. Invite everyone, said that this grandmother, this Baka. Invite everyone, but not the people of Vrindavan. Because when Krishna was in Vrindavan, they made him work on the meadows. He had to take a stick, run behind the cows. They are so cruel, they sent him to work, and they didn't even give him enough food. That's why he had to steal butter all the time. These cruel people of Vrindavan may not come. Only everyone else. And Narada Muni said, all right, and who will make the yajna? Yes, Brahmanas will be there and Krishna will be there. But then, at this stage, now it will get complicated. Now you will get to know Narada Muni. His personality, you know already many stories about him. The first people he went to was the people of Vrindavan. When he asked where can I find Nanda Maharaj in Yashoda, the people said, just look at this channel. There's a channel of salty water. It is filled by the tears of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, who always cry, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Follow this channel of tears, and where it ends is the house of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Ma. Nanda Maharaj felt the Raj Baba coming over him. He could control himself. He went to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. They were crying. Yashoda was looking at a stick. Little red and then gold. It was a cowherding stick of Krishna, who was still leaning against the house, looking at it, crying, uncontrollable. Nanda Maharaj was there. The kitchen was not used,
only cow webs were there. They had not eaten since Krishna had left them. Narada came up. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, please accept my obeisances. I just wanted to give you some information. Can you tell us about Kanai? They said. Can you tell us about Krishna? They said, Narada Muni, he will make a yagya in Dwaraka, a big yagya. Everyone from the universe is invited, and I am going to give invitations. Oh, you said, Nanda Maharaj, so surely you have come to invite us. Said Narada Muni, there is a problem. It is not mentioned that you are on the list of those who are invited. You are actually not allowed to come. I'm very sorry. Oh, I should not have said it. I'm sorry. I have to leave now. Narada Muni went. Then Yashoda was crying even more. But Krishna, yeah, Krishna, Krishna, and he makes a yagya, and he is not inviting us? What has happened? And she became speechless. Then Nanda Maharaj, another mood came in him, and he said, don't cry, don't cry. Why do you cry, you foolish woman? And then he said, he is our son. We can go without the invitation. When you have a son, who has a son? Vaidyanath has a son. Madhusudha, you can come without invitation. When the yakya is no problem, this is the father can come. Yes, Yashoda, we will go without an invitation. And the word spread around about the Vrijvasis, and all the Vrijvasis got enthusiastic. We can also go without an invitation. After all, he stole butter from us, and now we can come without an invitation. They put all the things on the carts, and happy, the musicians were there, the jokers were there, and they, a happy procession led towards Dwaraka to come to the yakya. The cows came along, and we are seeing Krishna, we are seeing Krishna. So everyone, Narada Muni quickly went all around, all the big rishis, everyone from the universe came to Dwaraka, and the yakya started. Krishna was sitting with his back to the entrance, and he started the yagya under the guise of the brahmana. Swaha Indra Swaha. Oh, I don't know what you would say. Om Indraya Swaha. Om this one Swaha. Om that one. Shivaya Swaha, everyone Swaha, who gave so much blessings that he could take his birth in the prison of Dwaraka, of Mathura. So, this wife, this mother of Kamsa had arranged an army at the entrance. We were checking everyone. All of a sudden, a commotion came. A happy caravan of cowherders came chanting Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala, and they're throwing the cloth in the air. You know, they were seeing the Krishna and so on and so forth. But when they came to the entrance, the lenses were going, the swords were going, because the mother of Kamsa had arranged that they were not able to come through. Nanda Maharaj was crying. What? Yashoda was crying. And then this old sinner woman said, you people of Braj are liars. You people of Braj are cruel to Krishna. How can you dare to come? You don't even have an invitation. Krishna is now the prince. Prince of Dwaraka. He has successfully forgotten about Vrindavan, where he was treated cruelly. This is too much. Go. Yashoda said, but Krishna is my son. The army was shocked. But the mother of Kamsa was going on.
No, no, now you see, you liar. You see, you say the son of another woman is your son. No respect. Just lying, lying, genealogically lying, every type of lying. That's you people. Go.
So there was a commotion. Then the mother of Kamsa turned to Narada Muni. Narada Muni, you are saying, you say who is the mother of Krishna. Narada Muni. Everything was going according to plan. Narada Muni said, it is very difficult to say who is the parents of Krishna. Some say it's Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Some say it is Devaki and Vasudeva. But there is one, there's only one way to find out. The son will know who is his mother. He will react. So what we shall do now is we shall make a little test. Devaki will call Krishna's name and then we will see how Krishna reacts, and then Yashoda will call Krishna's name only from the entrance, and we will see how Krishna reacts, because the son will always know. It is something feeling, the feeling, huh? Who is the mother? There are experiments done on this, that sometimes children have been separated from their parents, and later by some search activity they have found their parents, and they have all of a sudden they saw these people who were strangers for them. This is your mother, this is your father, and the mother went, son, and the son went, it works. It's something mystical. It works. It's a very deep bondage. I have always been surprised by this. Sometimes I'm speaking to mothers, and the mothers have their children in some other room so that they don't disturb, and some Mataji is there. But then I'm speaking, and all of a sudden the mother gets restless. Why are you restless? We are just making a philosophical point. Don't you hear it? The mother says, what? Just listen. And it's dead silent. My son, my little baby, is crying for me. And then she runs out of the room, and I have good ears. I couldn't hear, but the mother can hear. It has a very deep connection. Mystical for us men. So the Swaha was going on. Idam Brahma Swaha, Idam, so many others, Swaha. And there was a lot of noise chanting Balagrahas Tatva Vicha Bhagavatam. I don't know if it was chanted. Many Shastras were chanting. It was so loud. And Narada Muni went to Devaki, who was just close by looking at Krishna every moment. He said, Devaki, can you just, you know, some reason, can you just please call Krishna? We need to get his attention. Something important has to be solved here. Narada didn't tell what it was. And Devaki said, of course. Krishna! Krishna! Krishna was going, Swaha! Swaha! He couldn't hear anything. It was so loud. Swaha! Swaha! And all the fire. Drums, bang, bang, bang. It was a yajna. Then Narada Muni said, all right, don't worry, Devaki. And he went to the entrance of Yashoda and said, now Yashoda, please, you call Krishna. Yashoda only two times could call. Kanai, not even Krishna. Kanai is a very affectionate name which Yashoda used. Kanai. And then she just cried. Krishna was, when the first Kanai came,
small heat at the wrong place.
Then the second, can I? Krishna was getting up. Who was calling? Ice went all over the place. Then it went to the entrance. And between everything and everyone, he could see. He started to jump up. Mother! And the crown fell down. Then he began to run. Mother! The scarf fell down. Then Narada Muni said, Indra, fast! And Indra came in the sky and they looked. And they saw how the prince of Dwarka was changing while he ran. And all of a sudden, was a little boy. only dressed with the thing. A little Dwarka, a little boy. Indra, here is the childhood form of Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki
jai!
Sri Raja Raj Krishna ki
jai!
So, this is a proof. Krishna is the son of Yashoda. Krishna is the Vrindavan Krishna. The sweet reservoir of divine relationships with the devotees. That's the highest concept of our Krishna. When Prabhupada, there is a key verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, one quality is he speaks very brief and very short. He does not repeat things. But one verse in the Bhagavad Gita he repeats in identical lines because it is the key to his heart. This is the verse, Manmana Bhava Matpakto Majaji Mang Namaskuru, these lines. And there Krishna, Prabhupada, in the purport, takes on the role of the acharya of a movement. He has to tell us now on what Krishna do we concentrate? Is it a universal form? Is it a Brahman? Is it a Rama? Is it Sita Ram? What Krishna? And he, in the purport says, we even have the Bhagavad Gita here. I just read it to you. It is the Vrindavan Krishna. It is the 1864, if I'm correct. You would see who is our Krishna. These words stress that one should concentrate the mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands, carrying a flute. Krishna only carries in Vrindavan a flute, not in Dwarka. The bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sanghita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead Krishna. One should not divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I wish to end this presentation with a song. please don't worry, I'm not so such a singer as our Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Sorry? Fasting, are you wanting? Yes, fasting. This is on my list at least. I lost my list. Yes. Okay, I will first say about fasting. My dear devotees, it's very good to fast today. Why? The mind reacts to sense enjoyment and to austerity in a different way. In Vaishnava Dharma, we don't believe so much in austerities, but on the appearance day, we follow one thing. We follow that we wish to be, we want to become Krishna-centered. This is birthday, he has not yet appeared now, he will appear at 12 o'clock. So then only we can eat. We are celebrating. Is it when you go to a birthday party, you don't stop yourself before you go. You know, when the celebration is there, then we will eat. It is custom. It is habit. Also, this day, we fast to come a little bit off the physical platform and its needs. For some of us, fasting is very difficult because we are always on the bodily platform. From morning till late at night, we think we are the body. And to not give food to the body is very bad. But when we are excited about something, we don't think of eating. When the grihasthas are in the act of conceiving a child, do they think I have to eat a pizza now? No, it is so exciting that you don't think of eating, even if you are hungry. It's so totally absorbing. So on Krishna's Jamashtami day, we are meant to absorb ourselves a little in Krishna. When you talk prajalpa, when you run around and think of holiday mood on Jamashtami day, to not eat will be difficult because you are on the bodily platform. But when you chant, when you come to the programs, like at 3 o'clock there is a Krishna Lila Katha program arranged for us, you come on the spiritual platform and it is exciting up there. And you will not think about the body. You can fast without even thinking that you fast when you are on the spiritual platform. You will not even think it. Now a little psychological tip, because this may be too provocative, this type of advice. Eating is only a necessity of the mind.
Yes.
You have so much eaten throughout the year that you absolutely don't need it more. It is very good if you don't eat. You are puno, over puno. But it's only a thing in the mind due to custom. So, focus the mind on something else and you don't even think of this. This is what I wanted to say. I wanted to say this in reference to my point that we are not, that we have to think a little bit how we can become more Krishna conscious. And I wanted to tease you at the end of my little presentation. Please do not take offense with what I have said. You know, we are from Germany. And it is stated that according to Yukta Vairagya, you use your nature in Krishna's service. The Germans made two world wars, they are offensive people and always nervous and dissatisfied. You have a species here before you. I have just used these tendencies today to make a point which hopefully it's a true point. The way was a little teasing and so on, but the point is a true one. We have a problem. This problem is so big that 90% of us will become sick in 10 years. We will go maybe back to material life. The reason is we are so much ego-centered that we don't have any place for Krishna and pleasing Krishna. It's bad. It's a life of dead problem. Therefore, I just wanted to shake up the atmosphere a little bit about this. Please forgive me now. I will now become peaceful again. please do not take offense. It was just, you know, we can only, when we are solidly shocked, then we might remember something on the Jamashtami day, something was agitating me. What was it? The speaker said, we have a problem, and I was, I have to do something against it. Hare Krishna. Here's a nice song for us in the end. It's on page 7. Have have bolo seri namo. Have have bolo seri namo. Amar aparada guchi shodana maruchi. Amar aparada guchi shodana maruchi. Kripa bole have vidoye sancha. Kripa bole habe hedurde sancha. Habe habe bolo sedi namo. Habe habe bolo sedi namo. Hare Krishna. I'm getting a little bit too enthusiastic. Edition said about, because we don't have the text, then everyone will... Yes, that's, I didn't prepare it. Yeah, you one amongst the 150. there's a beautiful thing about prayers. Today, we will let us all remember Bhakti Teta Maharaj's encouragement to pray. On a birthday or appearance day, the person who has appeared is doubly as merciful. So here is a prayer. Please tell me, when will that day be mine, when my offenses end and a taste for the pure holy name will come in my heart by your mercy? When will I feel myself lower than a blade of grass? When the quality of tolerance will come in my heart? When will I show respect to all others and not seek honor for myself? Then I will be able to taste the essence of the nectar of the holy name. Well, followers, beautiful woman as described in worldly poetry, I do not want any such bodily pleasures. O Gaura Hari, please give me unmotivated devotion to your lotus feet, birth after birth. Then, by taking Krishna Naam, will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture? We can remember our Bhakti Teta Maharaj for a long time when he chants Hare Krishna, so much ecstasy is entering into him that, no, it is ecstasy. And we have seen, and he jumps and screams, woo! is giving us life. When, while taking Krishna Naam, will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture, with my hair standing on end, my words choked with emotion, pallor and trembling occurring, and streams of tears flowing constantly from my eyes? Yes. Then will Nityananda Prabhu be merciful to me and release me from the illusion of worldliness? I'm jumping over a few things. I shall buy and plunder the nectar of the name of Hari, and becoming thoroughly intoxicated by Namrash, I shall become stunned by touching the feet of those great souls who are able to relish that rasa. I will sing continuously in the sweet nectar of the holy day. These are some prayers. Please say your own prayers as well. Shri Krishna Jamashtami Mahotsava ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Kunya Bihari ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. We will now end. We will now make room for Bhakti Teta Maharaj.